The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And good afternoon and welcome in on this Friday as the weekend is arriving slowly, but soon enough for an all-SEC final in Omaha. We'll talk plenty about what happened late last night. And in case you were sleeping, the headline says it all. We'll be talking about that LSU weight game for decades. Here's what it sounded like.
Walks it off, and the LSU Tigers will face the Gators in the finals.
Tommy, how's the heartbeat?
Oh, 1,000,000,000 miles an hour. Oh no, I'm gassed. Yeah.
What were you looking for in that AB off Manassi?
Fastball. I didn't get a fastball. I was so amped up that I just threw my hands at it.
How about that? First time there's been a walk-off to break a scoreless tie in Omaha in 1,086 games. Anyone know how long that's been? Forever. And we have an LSU-Florida matchup. We've seen this before. 2017, Gators won that one. It's the seventh time conference opponents have met in the championship, fifth time for the SEC. Remember, it happened 2 years ago when Mississippi State beat Vanderbilt. How about this? From LSU, they got some news on Les Miles' football program. A number of games will be vacated, and it could cost Les Miles getting into the College Football Hall of Fame. A couple of other things could cost him as well. Barrett Salee has been busy. The sports analyst has tried to pick every single game. You know how difficult that is? I really don't, because I've never been crazy enough to try it. We say hello to Barrett Salee, and he'll tell us how he fared right now. Good afternoon, Barrett. So tell us the process when you pick every single game. Does it require drugs, alcohol, nicotine, or all of the above?
Appreciate you having me, Paul. Yeah, all of the above, sometimes at the same time. You know, mix a little cocktail in there. But, yeah, it's fun, man. Like, going through all this and – you know, I am sure you have your opinions of your of the teams you like, you don't like, whatever, and I do too. And so essentially all I do is I print out the helmet schedule after, you know, knowing what I like, what I don't like about each team, and I go through and, you know, pick wins and losses. And a lot of that depends on, you know, where games fall in schedules for specific teams. And honestly, Paul, some don't make any sense. But there are upsets. When does college football make sense, right? Upsets happen. And so part of this, if I do want to be right, is picking games that that make no sense at all. And to me, that's the fun part about it, too. And it's interesting because I go in thinking, okay, I like Ole Miss a lot, or I like South Carolina a lot. And then I go through each game, and then I look at the record. I'm like, well, dang, I like them much more than I thought, or I like them a lot less than I thought. So it's a fun exercise. I do it every year, and, you know, it's fun off-season content, but also it's fun to look back and see how right or wrong I am, and most of the time I'm a complete idiot. So,
and one thing I will say about you, Barrett, unlike some of these Sharpies who have never made a mistake, some of the people that work at television networks, these guys are always right. You come back at the end of the year and have a full disclosure. So let's, for the final time I'll ever be able to ask you this question: who do you like in the SEC East and West?
This is going to be very, very uneventful. Georgia and LSU. I think we saw that a few months ago as well. But yeah, I think Georgia's going to cruise in the East. And LSU is, I think, should be the favorite in the West. But you can make an argument for four or five teams and make a relatively decent argument for them. So I think the West is going to be really intriguing this year.
Well, let's focus on LSU because Georgia isn't tough. So LSU has to deal with some of the pesky SEC foes. I can't believe I'm saying this, like Alabama, but that's not the only one. So what do you see LSU doing this year?
I've got them at 11-1, with the only loss coming on opening Sunday night to Florida State, which we all know was just unbelievable last year with the way that game went down. And it's quite surprising because I make all these picks, you know, with the win totals in mind, and Caesars has them at 9.5, which to me seems crazy considering, you know, their rotating cross division opponent is Missouri. And it's at Missouri. Like, is that terrifying? Not really. Yeah, they have to go to Alabama. That struggles, but that is tough. But they get Florida at home. You know, so I just think for LSU, having a Heisman caliber quarterback, having a really good wide receiving core, a running back room that is a little, is uber talented and experienced, but there are some issues for various reasons with some of those players. I get that. But then I think the biggest thing to me, Paul, is that they went out and fixed the glitch from Office Space, so to speak. Their problem was in the secondary, and they went out and hit the portal hard in the secondary, and I think that'll help them. So it's a more complete LSU team right now than I think maybe gets portrayed publicly, because I do think that they are set up, maybe not for long-term elite success right now, but certainly back to where they were in the Les Miles era, at least before he got too stubborn and contending for SEC West titles every year.
So, Barrett, you have them beating Alabama, which brings us to Alabama. How do you rank Alabama after going through their entire slate?
I've got them at 10-2, which is under because it is 10.5 from Caesars and a loss to Texas and a loss to LSU. I just think for Alabama, are we really putting our faith in Tyler Buchner being a national championship caliber quarterback? Because I'm not. Are we really going to assume that the offensive line is fixed after a pretty consistent era of inadequacy? I'm not. You need to see it. That's a point for Alabama. Usually, you know, with Alabama, it's like, all right, rinse, a lot of the rinse, repeat. We know where they're going to be, but they haven't been able to do that in some key spots. And so we need to see it. And I think that's going to be a problem. So the Texas game was hard for me. But because it's in week two, you're asking or probably going to ask Tyler Buchner, Ty Simpson, or Jalen Milroe, I think it'll be Tyler Buchner, to go throw for throw with Quinn Ewers and a really good wide receiving core. That's not the easiest thing to do, especially for whether it's Buchner or one of the other two, you know, quarterback that is certainly inexperienced within the SEC, relatively speaking.
Barrett Salee with us. Barrett, I won't go through every one of the 14 schools we've been to, two or three. Give us the most interesting and challenging slate that you had to deal with.
Well, honestly, for me, it was Tennessee, because the win total is 9. I think they're going to push. I think they're going to be 9-3. But one of those losses is at Kentucky. And Tennessee fans, I was just on a Tennessee radio show, and they went nuts about that. Like, how could you have us losing to Kentucky? I'm like, well, it comes after the road trip to Alabama, so you're going to be beat up. And it's on the road, which is Lexington's a tough place to play. And so all these people are upset about that loss that I predicted, but they're okay with 9-3. And I'm like, all right, well, if you're upset with Kentucky being one of those losses, who are you okay with? Because you have Virginia at Florida, South Carolina, Texas A&M at Missouri, where, you know, which one is acceptable? And for Tennessee this year, I don't know if there is one that's acceptable. I think the goal for Tennessee is to not lose multiple games that are toss-ups, because any kind of consistency is good for the Tennessee fans, for Josh Heupel. But it was hard for Tennessee because I don't think they're going to be consistent in terms of, you know, being an elite team. There might take a small step back. And if there's a small step back, maybe there are a couple inexplicable losses like South Carolina. So trying to figure out where I view Tennessee and how I think they might stumble, where I think they might stumble was pretty hard to do.
Barrett, finally, of your predictions, and you did 14, which one is has the greatest differentiation from the Vegas win total?
I don't have it in front of me. I believe it's South Carolina.
Okay.
Because I have South Carolina at 8 wins, and Vegas has them at 6, which 6 seems really low to me. I mean, when you have a quarterback like Spencer Rattler, you're going to be in some games that you're not supposed to be in. And I think South Carolina, to me, and it's interesting because I went through South Carolina's schedule, and I have them at 8-4, but one of those 4 is to Missouri. And so, like, I'm like, well, maybe it's really, really off, and it should be a 9-win team instead of an 8-win team. It's certainly more than 6. So I think for South Carolina, I wasn't expecting to like South Carolina as much as apparently now I do like South Carolina. I think they'll be competitive. I thought they'd be competitive. But when I went through this, I was surprised in how different my picks were compared to the Caesar Sportsbook odds.
Great stuff from Barrett Salee. We'll take a short break here. When we come back, we'll talk about what happened last night in Omaha. We'll also discuss why Les Miles continues to be a thing in Baton Rouge and what this year looks like for Brian Kelly. That is our next guest, Wilson Alexander. Later on, we'll talk to Stinch about the upcoming season, and Connor O'Gara returns to the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back, and still so many people around the sports world talking about what happened last night, late, in Omaha. Let's bring in somebody who had a front row seat. Wilson Alexander covers the team from the Advocate. Wilson, first of all, thank you very much for being here. It's one thing to watch a game on TV like most of us did. Describe it in person at the stadium covering the team.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It was one of the greatest sporting events that I've ever seen in person. It's up there because every single pitch, the game felt like it was hanging on it or could turn in an instant, whether it was a pass ball or just a single or a walk. It felt like something was going to suddenly turn the game. And so your heart was pounding out of your chest, no matter who you were rooting for or what you were doing there. It was so brilliantly pitched by both Paul Skenes and Brett Lauder. And the fact that it was scoreless going into extra innings made you know that there was going to be some drama ahead. And then obviously Tommy White with that home run, as soon as he made contact, that you knew that they LSU's players stormed out into the field. You see right there White raising his arm. It was heartbreak for Wake Forest, but it was exhilarating on the LSU side of things. This was, when you talk to people who've been around the College World Series for a long time, one of the greatest games that they've seen here. It's going to be remembered for a really long time in LSU history.
That is fun to talk about. It's great to remember, and as I'm sure somebody in your position it's exhilarating to write about. But, you know, we heard the coach a minute ago, and you have to not only turn the page, but turn the page quickly. What did you learn listening to the coaches today get ready for the weekend championship?
Well, Jay Johnson, I think, happy to have a day off for this team, not only to give the pitching staff a bit of rest, but to also maybe reset a little bit and regroup. LSU was, you know, pushed into loser's bracket by losing that game Monday against Wake Forest, and so as a result had to play three straight elimination games in 3 days. And that's a lot on a team. And it's also, even though this is a team that is extremely talented, it gives them now a chance to regroup. I mean, they're going to go to the zoo later on today. They're practicing right now at Charles Schwab Field. And so they've got a little bit of time now to catch their breath. And that's going to be helpful for this team while probably being able to retain some momentum, be able to get their mind locked back into it. They're very good at being able to do that. Jay approaches this thing from a mental standpoint, almost like a football coach sometimes, you know, one day at a time, and all those kind of mantras that he's learned from watching Nick Saban over the years. He's applying them now for this team, and it sounds like they take to those things very well.
Wilson, you mentioned the pitching. The ace is gone, at least for now. I don't know about Monday night, but what does the pitching rotation look like now?
LSU will probably throw Ty Floyd in game one. They've been their number two all season, and now he'll get moved up into that first game. But LSU's also got a lot of bullpen arms available, particularly for the first 2 days. I would imagine that they can get back to Paul Skeens on Monday. He would be going again on short rest, even shorter this time. It'd be 3 days. But you're not going to take the ball out of his hands with a chance to win the national championship if it comes down to that. But they've got a lot of guys who have stepped up in particular over the last week who will be available, like Riley Cooper, Nate Hackenhausen, Griffin Herring, these guys who have turned into stars here on the biggest stage. They'll all be ready to go. And the way LSU's been pitching, they look like they're in good shape.
Wilson, let's get to a couple of other stories. The Will Wade story came out yesterday, another one on Les Miles. Let's start with Will Wade, because it took a long time to get rid of him at LSU, and now he gets hit with the show cause. What did you learn about that? And because it's left a lot of people around college sports wondering what you have to do to get in serious trouble with the NCAA today.
It was yet another example of a seemingly pretty minor punishment for something that was made into a huge deal. I mean, this was a lot of rules that were being broken that the NCAA, you know, showed and confirmed throughout this whole process. But throughout all these schools that have gone through the IARP, it feels like it's been a little bit of a slap on the wrist for anybody who's been involved for the most part anyway. I mean, and Will, once again, you know, he was suspended for 5 games in that McNeese contract when he got hired. But it's only an additional 5 games, and the show cause really just relates to recruiting. As soon as those 10 games are up, he can do everything that you need to do as a coach within the season when it comes to just your team in that current moment, you know, practicing and leading the team on the court and all those things. You know, he's got some recruiting restrictions around him, but those are only going to be up in 2 years. And then if he's doing a good job at McNeese, he could potentially continue to move right back on up in the sport because there won't be those restrictions around him. You know, it's going to take a team willing to hire him, but we've seen plenty of other schools do that with coaches who had show causes. And so Will is probably, you know, despite all maybe the emotional toll that this took over the last few years, and obviously losing his job at LSU as a result of what happened, he comes out of this in a pretty decent situation considering what happened.
Wilson, let's get to the Les Miles situation. A lot of games were forfeited. I don't know what that really means or matters after the fact. What was all that about?
Yeah, so LSU, after it received the notice of allegations last March in its response to the IARP panel, it self-imposed vacated wins from 2012 to 2015 because Badal Alexander, a former offensive lineman who was a four-year starter, only missed one game during that time, and it was a loss. He was ineligible the entire time because his father was getting paid through actually embezzled funds by John Paul Funes, who was at Our Lady of the Lake Hospital Foundation head at the time. And because of that, for a no-show job, Vidal was ineligible. And so LSU vacated those wins as a way to further mitigate punishment. LSU had already self-imposed quite a few penalties over the last few years, including the bowl ban in 2020 and some recruiting things, banning Odell Beckham Jr. from the facility for 2 years. And all of its self-imposed penalties the NCAA accepted it and seemed to meet what they had in mind already. And so that was the last one that they self-imposed. It was kept confidential until the IRP ruling was released yesterday. But now LSU football comes out of this in just a fine situation because they're on probation for 3 years, but they don't have any sort of additional penalties against them.
Which brings us to this year, and Brian Kelly, I realize it's a strange question considering where you are right now, but you do cover the team, and we've talked so much with other guests about the quarterback room. But overall, how do you feel, and what are you hearing as we get ready to make that hard turn toward the season?
So Jaden Daniels was at the Manning Passing Academy today in the same spot where a few years ago Joe Burrow was going into his second season at LSU. And while this doesn't necessarily feel the exact same as Joe Burrow going into 2019, this is an offense that brings back so many pieces that there's a lot of confidence on that side of the ball. There's been a lot of chatter out of LSU throughout the spring about how good Jaden looked. You saw a glimpse of that in the spring game, as vanilla as it was, very efficient, and looked just extremely comfortable in the offense going into his second year. And there's a lot of optimism on the defensive side as well. There's still questions to be answered at cornerback and even at safety. If LSU has an injury back there, they're going to be in a tough spot. But this is a team with a lot of talent on the front seven as well. And just in general in Baton Rouge, there's quite a bit of optimism and excitement about what this team could do in the fall.
Wilson, thank you so much for the report. We especially enjoyed hearing about the game last night in Omaha. Much more on that later in the program. We head to the break now, and we'll get to your phone calls for the first time on this Friday afternoon right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just listening to an old clip from 3 months ago, 4 months ago, from Augie in March, late March, almost 4 months ago, writing the LSU baseball Tigers off. Jay is up next in Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
Very well.
Great show yesterday. Great show. Did you get a chance to watch that game last night?
Yes, I did.
Or did you just see the highlights?
No, I saw it.
Man, that was a good game. Well, Paul, at least we know it. At least we know the championship staying in the SEC again this year.
Never a doubt. So, hey, thanks for the call, but I do appreciate it. How about Doug in Tulsa? Hey, Doug, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Now, it's funny that guy just said that because I was thinking earlier today, you know, my Oklahoma Sooners baseball team lost in the first round of the NCAAs. But now that we're going to the SEC, I could just chant SEC for the next few days now, since it's an all-SEC final, and act like our team's won the national championship. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, I think if you're Oklahoma and Texas, you can claim some ownership.
Yes, thank you. Now, Paul, the reason I'm calling, now, I know I got to get used to this, and it's an adjustment, but these Georgia and Alabama fans are just driving me crazy. Oh, our coach is better. No, our coach is better. Oh, no, our program's better. No, our program's better. Now, look, let me just give some advice to the Georgia fans. You've won the national championship two times in a row. You made three-peat. You guys are awesome. I applaud you. Oh, you fans, man, we're glad we're not playing you this year. We get to play Slippery Rock instead. We're all excited about that. All right, so just be happy with it. Alabama fans. Your head coach has trained the coaches now on top. So not only is Saban a great coach, but he's a wonderful teacher and discipler of football. So just take pride in that. You guys just kiss and make up. And by the way, Paul, it doesn't really matter. It's all a mute point because I just got to say that Bob Stoops is the greatest football coach of all time because he not only won an NCAA title, but he also won the XFL championship. And you could take that to the rock.
Thanks, Doug. Right? Appreciate it. Carl is up next. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Paul. Happy Friday. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
I want to respond to a couple of things Jim had to say. First, he said he didn't like baseball. And my daddy told me over 50 years ago, if you don't like baseball, you're probably a communist. I heard your promo saying how you don't like Georgia. That kind of bothered me a little bit, but I don't really care.
Okay.
But professional franchises don't like Alabama much. Have a great day, everybody.
Jim is up next.
Did I hear right? Did the guy call me a commie?
How are you doing, comrade?
Well, I'm at least glad you admit you are one, too. That's a step up. That's a starter. That's a kickstarter, Paul.
That's true,
a good one. I love it, brother comrade. Brother comrade.
You got it. We're fellow comrades.
That's right. And what is he, though? I think he's – now, that's what you call a moron. That's just simply that. He's a moron. Paul, I'm going to apologize because I did get hyper yesterday. I just get mad. I get angry. And I just get wound up and sound like an idiot sometimes. But I'm going to tell you about Jason talking about me with his daughter. He's not a good representative of a father to let his daughter get – to teach his daughter to call somebody crazy. I don't know what I am, but I'm not crazy. And I'm just get a little wound up sometimes and go too far. But you know me. I think you know me well enough to know I'm sapient. When I get it together, if I want it, I can be cooler than cool. And I'm not bragging. Like you said one time, if it's a fact, it's not bragging. I'm going to thank you, though, because you have just featured Augie, and that's going to take all the pressure in the world off me about being the number one hated call on this show, because I don't know. I hope Augie will come back and say something, but, man, that was cruel.
That was only one time. Another time he called the players bums.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say he hated baseball.
The team a fraud.
Yeah. Well, he's been pretty tough on – I don't know why, but he's pretty tough on LSU football and baseball. But, hey, you know what, Paul? That might get some results. I was pretty tough on Alabama for a long time,
as you were,
and it brought results in my opinion.
Alabama finally quit settling for losers and brought in a champion.
The word you got was right, was settling. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
Settling for a long time. Then they finally saw the people, the fans are not going to take that. They're not going to tolerate it. And I don't mind what Augie's doing. I mean, you got to be critical. I promise you, you've got to be critical. You know that. In ball, you've got to be critical, especially if it's justified. And every time, there's no perfect team. You're going to have problems. You're going to have fine flaws in everything. But you can't just be a nice guy and get the results. That's all I know from what my experience of playing ball. And the great coaches. The only one great coach I had was a high school coach, and he was the best I ever saw. But anyway, I appreciate you getting the heat off me with Augie, but I'm going to have to really pray for Augie now because he's going to need it.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that call very much. Chase is up next. Hello, Chase.
Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How's it going? I appreciate you taking the time to get me on the line. I was just wanted to back Jim. Is this Paul?
This is Paul right here.
Hi, Paul. This is Chase. I just want to back Jim. I do agree. It's tough to be successful as a nice person, but I also would like to disagree. We had Ed Orgeron, nicest guy you'll ever meet, makes maybe the best gumbo I've ever tasted. And I'll tell you what, you can be a nice guy, but also have discipline. Does that make sense?
Well, sure. Yeah. But it's a complicated mix, but it can happen.
Well, you got to know your boundaries, Paul.
Right.
right? So, I mean, you got to lay it down, and then you know, it's what it all comes down to is making sure that you're consistent with your discipline. But you can be nice doing it. You don't have to yell at them.
No,
trust me, I've got my rear end tore up maybe once, twice, and there's no reason for it. You can handle it in a productive way.
Well, Chase, thank you very much. You be well. Philip is up next in Florida. Hello, Philip.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I have a question about the new arrangement in the SEC schedule for football.
Okay.
How do you think that works out for not having the East and West Conference?
Well, I think it's going to take a lot of getting used to because we're so conditioned to it. We've been doing this now for 31 years, so your mindset is trying to win the East, trying to win the West. But I don't think it's going to be a big deal once we get to next year.
So could you see Alabama and LSU in the SEC championship this year?
Well, I think anything is possible. And if you look back, there would be a number of years where they probably would have played. They would have played in 2011, maybe in another year or two in that realm. So I don't think there are any set situations. What you want and what you'll get now in the SEC championship game are the two best teams. And you most of the time get that, but you don't always. There have been years when you've had really complete and total mismatches. Trey is up next. Trey, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you today? You doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I have two questions for you real quick, if I may. If you give me an opportunity. One's about the NBA draft, and one's about the 2024 schedule. How surprised were you last night if you watched that Oscar Tshiebwe and Drew Timmy were not drafted in the first round last night?
I wasn't overly surprised by Oscar. You know, everybody made a big deal about him staying at Kentucky last year. Well, there was a reason why he stayed. His NBA stock was extremely low, and it obviously has not improved a whole lot.
Second question. 2024 SEC schedule. I'm wondering if you and the SEC Network are preparing for the Monday after the 2024 Alabama versus Georgia football game. I think that day is probably going to be one of the most epic shows that Paul Feinbaum has ever had. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, well, we're not prepared for it right now, but I would assume we will be. I don't know if you remember this. It was before we launched here on the SEC Network in 2013. I was already working for ESPN, and you may remember. And they decided, we were only on radio at the time, and they decided
Correct.
To, even though the show was about to go on TV 7 months later, or 8 or 9 months later, they decided to do on the Monday after the Iron Bowl to simulcast our show on ESPNU. Now, you remember what happened in 2013 mm-hmm. in the Alabama-Auburn game? You had the famous kick six. And
yeah, Paul, I remember that. I drank too much after that, of course.
What happened was
– I was like Larry that day.
nobody had ever done a radio show other than the run-of-the-mill ESPN radio shows, which, you know, maybe take 3 calls a week. And we got so many calls in the first half hour – in the first – half hour before we came on. By the time we came on the air, the phone lines had been shorted and we could not take a phone call the entire program. Can you imagine having a call-in show the day after, 2 days after the greatest ending to a college football game we'd ever seen? We had decided no guests, all calls, and we couldn't take a call. We will be better prepared next year. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we are back here, and Randy is up next in Florence, Alabama.
Paul, this is Rowdy. I don't know. Yes, sir.
Hey, sir. Rowdy.
I've called in before, Paul, and as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Rowdy.
Yesterday, you had a caller to call in, and I don't remember the caller's name, but he was trying to make a point that you were only successful because of the success that Alabama's had and Nick Saban and so forth. You remember that caller, Paul?
Yes, I do.
Okay. First of all, your show, it's not just sports. And I don't have a real question for you. I just want to make a comment and then get your comments on that. Your show is more than just a sports talk show. It's medicine for people. You're almost in some ways kind of like a doctor or maybe a psychiatrist. You listen to people's problems, and then I think you're sincere in what you try to do and answer them and stuff along that line. But where I'm going with that is this. The legend called in, and he said there was just a lot of things that's just simply no-brainers. And if that guy that was the caller from yesterday had known your program like I've known it over the last 20 years, and the reason I know it's been 20 years that I've been listening to you is that the house I live in, I've lived here for 20 years. And all of the great memories from Tammy, from Jim calling in, from Legend. I remember the first time Daryl ever called in, and I thought, man, what a guy. You know, this guy can really put it out there. He says a lot in a short amount of time. And I thought, well, this guy's going to become a really popular caller, and he has. And again, just to let you know, your show means so much more than sports. I mean, football's only about 5 months out of the year. You're on 12 months out of the year. And it's great to be able to use your show as a tool to listen to other people, other people's problems, other people's good times. And I just wanted to call and say that to you, sir. And I really appreciate the show.
Well, Rowdy, thank you for saying that. And I've learned not to to argue back with someone. That was his opinion, and I've been very vocal in the past saying that Saban's success at Alabama did help me immensely because of the attention that was put on Alabama football. But yeah, I mean, we did proceed. I mean, we did have a show before that, and I deeply appreciate everything you said because that means more to me and to the people around this show than anything you could imagine, because we really do take it very seriously, and we take the relationships very seriously.
One other thing, Paul, if I could, please. I know Legend mentioned that it had been mentioned, I think, on two shows previous, that Alabama would return to a national championship in 3 years. That's absolutely impossible to predict. Now, Alabama is recruiting at a high level because we know Nick Saban is a great master at doing that. If we don't if we're not successful and make it to the playoffs this year, then he'll find a way to get the right coaches, the right assistants, and to continue that on. And I know, I think you agreed that you thought that Alabama would win a
championship. I do, but if he doesn't, there will be a lot of analysis. And, you know, I will share this with you. I don't even know if it's so much the players that have hurt Alabama recently, and I mean last year, because the previous year they did play for the national championship. But there are people that seriously questioned his coaches last year, and I think that will be the defining moment of the next two or three years for Nick Saban, is what his coaching staff turns out to be. These are important things, no matter how great you are, and he is exactly what we all think and say he is. You need good coaches under you, and right now Kirby Smart has a very strong staff. He's replacing an offensive coordinator, and it's to be determined exactly how effective Saban is in replacing what he essentially ran off. Hey, thank you very much for your call. We are 1 hour in. Some fantastic guests to start us off. We have a long way to go, and we hope you'll stick around.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.